say just this, and this time I'm looking in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Those of you who have your Bibles, I think there's a few of us who are here on this truth together. I think it was here a few days ago, not particularly on this point, but it's in the great section on separation. And remember, our brother has reminded us that it's impossible for one person to walk on one road and hold the hand of somebody that's walking on another road. And I may say that whilst he was saying that, that great word of John Wesley's came to my mind. I haven't thought about it for years. And it was so long ago now when I read it, I should have to think how long ago it was. But Wesley said, in the great evangelical awakening when millions in this country were swept into as the salvation, he said on his great itineraries going around the churches afterwards that he observed that when the truth was rarely presented to a person's heart, a person made a choice, that is, one who'd been converted. And if they chose not to go on in the road of holiness, they insensibly declined unto a lower road. It was this word insensibly that stuck to me so much. They weren't aware of it. It spoke volumes to my heart at the time when I was seeking God in a very real way, and I wondered how insensibly, without being aware of it, I had declined onto the lower road. And I continue, it wasn't so long before I really began to get through that I should get on the highway with God. All right, and in this 2 Corinthians 6, where you will remember we're told in verse 14 that we're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Or what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? This unequal yoke, and I suppose that at some time or another we've all heard some kind of sermons on it. I suppose the easiest tragedy is when two people get unequally yoked together, for instance, a believer or an unbeliever or a Christian that's really going bang through with God and somebody who isn't. And it's a very, very difficult matter. But it isn't only in matters of courtship and ultimate marriage. And I can tell you this is a terrible thing, because where I've been now, this person is an elderly person, older than I am, both he and his wife, at least I hope they are. Well, you know what I mean. None of their children are anywhere with God. When I sort of talking about it, it was because that he had gone one place after they were married. He wanted certain truth, and he went along to a certain place, and the wife didn't go. She went to a local church with the children, and the result is that none of their children are saved. None of their children want God. This great division, this unequal yoke, it's a terrible thing, and one is constantly meeting this. But not only in that line, of course, also with business. I remember a man in the church, in a church in which I used to go to worship. This is long before I was a married man. It was way back in my life. I remember that he was in a business. They had a tailor's business in a town in Kent. He was a Christian man, and his partner wasn't. He was absolutely ruined. They could not walk together. They just could not agree. God has made this a complete impossibility.
Amen.
To attempt it is to tell God that he doesn't know what he's talking about, and you believe him to be a liar anyway. It couldn't be right. It's absolutely true, beloved, that you cannot be be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now notice yoked, it doesn't mean say you must associate with unbelievers, but anything that constitutes a yoke of any kind, you must not do it. It's an impossibility. This is why you have to be careful with contracts and marriages and agreements and all this sort of thing. There are societies, for instance, in which you link up with other people. God will not have. You've got to come right out of them, as the scripture says in verse 17. You've got to come right out from among them and be separate. That's what the Lord says. And you are not to touch the unclean. That doesn't mean unclean thing either, because if you've got a good Bible, the word thing is not there in the Greek. You're not to touch the unclean. Not just thing, but the person in this sense of touching them with a set, with getting to know them in intimacy, closeness of knowledge, becoming one or united with them, or getting yoked or linked with them, taking on the same interests for purposes of mutual gain or profit, whether it be in money or in affection or an accumulation of this or attainment to that. You have one linkage, it's with Jesus Christ in the church. Mm-hmm. You have a new family, it's the born again children of God. Amen. That's where you're to find your union, that's where to find your yoke, that's where you're to find everything. God has intended that the church, now I've got no denominational emphasis here, but the true church, that the church is your new everything. And you're in that, and you go out as from that in whatever you do. That's a tremendous thing. And you're to be separate, utterly separate from them. And this I will tell you, so part, providing you haven't got any cranky or queer ideas about it, and have become weird in your approach, if you will know what it is to live in separation unto the Lord as He intends you to live, then you will find, beloved, that you will become most disposed to the Lord Jesus Christ for the uses to which He wants to put you. The plain fact of the matter is that God cannot use some people. He dare not. He would ruin His own reputation if He did. That's the fact. And so, beloved, we have to learn. And in connection with what our brother has said in verse 16, we are asked, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. Now this is one of the most astounding things, beloved, if you come to consider this completely. That God will walk this earth today, and is walking this earth today, literally, actually, in these kind of people. Not in any old kind of person. These are the people that He says, you see? I will be their God. That's right, they're the people. I'll be their God. They shall be my people. Glory to God. Now all you and I have to ask ourselves is simply this. Is God walking in me? Is He or isn't He? Now this isn't based upon a knowledge of scriptures that you can gather together to say the scripture says so. It starts off like that, with scriptural knowledge. It turns into inward spiritual understanding and a perfect grasp of it, so that you know it if you never read the scriptures about it anymore. And this is the wonderful truth of it, to know that God is walking in me. Hallelujah. There's something wonderful about this, beloved. If you go back to John 14 here, I want you to notice something with which, of course, you're very familiar. And it's verse 16 of John 14. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now see this word with. Now, how is the comforter going to abide with you forever, or unto the age? For in 17th verse, at the end of the verse, following the semicolon after the word him, Jesus says again, he dwelleth with you. You see, he says the comforter is going to abide or dwell, it's the same word, with you forever in the end of verse 16. He told them that he was already abiding with them then. But he was going away, that's right, the Lord Jesus was going away, and then the Holy Ghost was going to be in them, in the end of verse 17. Now what's the point? Well, if the Spirit is going to dwell with you, he can only dwell with you in this way. Eyes down on those verses, on those particular words, at the end of verse 17, he can only be with you by being with and in you. In other words, he is within you. That's right. That's the only way. He can only be within you. Within you. Alright. Now that's how he abides with you unto the age. Glory. Forever. You see, it's wonderful to take the promises of God and to be able to do that sort of thing with your Bible. But oh, beloved, to know this glorious truth as our brother has been bringing it out tonight. God has said, I'm back in 2 Corinthians 16 now, I will dwell in them and walk in them. Hallelujah. Now actually, the word them on the second time is not there. God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in. The word them should be italicized if you have a good Bible, is that right? Yes. In other words, not there in the Greek. In other words, he's just, well, walk in what? Walk in who? Walk in where? In everything. Walk in the world. Walk in this age. Walk in any place. He's just going to walk in. He's not just going to walk, he's going to walk in. That's right. God just doesn't want to walk, he wants to walk in. Our brother directed us to the fact that God walked in the garden in the cool of the day. But now he's just going to walk in. There's nothing put there. You, beloved, can put the place. You can put the pronoun or noun there if he's really walking in. Amen. It's got to be true in your life. It's got to be true in mine. You know, it's wonderful, and I want to say this for encouragement, not for in any way to point to any particular person. But the other day, I went to a place, And when I got there, there was a man and a woman there, and that I knew. And when I walked, somebody came down, and just before these two came, I saw them. This other person came to me. This person said, "You've just come in time. They're in great need, the verge of a complete breakdown." Well, I just went in and talked with these two dear ones, said hello, went in, didn't go for what would be called ministry or anything like that, just went. Went in and sat down and talked. And by the time we lunched together, talked together, and said goodbye together, the lady said, "I'm absolutely better." It's all gone. Now, I believe, and I say this for your encouragement, beloved, because our brother has drawn our attention to this. It isn't things you've got to do. It's someone you've got to be. This is the thing you've got to see. That God walks in when you do. That's the point. That's the whole thing. And you must not come short of this in any degree. And in the degree and measure in which the Lord has already come to you, then he's going to walk into your situation. And he's going to walk in such a way, beloved, that in the end, there won't be any recoil. He won't be withdrawing, wanting to get away, wanting to get out. Praise God. You do see that, don't you? You've got to go on and on and on with the Lord Jesus. "I will be their God. They shall be my people." All right. And "I will receive you," verse 17 at the end, "be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Then let me ask you a simple question. Who are the sons and daughters of God? Those in whom he is walking. That's the whole. Dwelling in them, walking in them. Those are they, by the plain attestation of this scripture. It's very simple and very lovely. So about all you've got to do is to keep on walking. Praise his name. Glory. You know, this is far, far more wonderful than say when Solomon built the temple. He said, "Will God indeed verily dwell on the earth?" It's only dwelling. He thought he's going to live away there in a place called the temple, all hidden from people. Not now. He wants to be walking right out in the midst of everybody. We're in a different covenant, beloved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Living right out there, walking, not hidden away behind some big thick veils, but out there walking, not fixed in one place, but out there every place with the Lord. And that's glorious. Praise his wonderful name. Glory. For you believe the Lord. Let's all believe him. Can you say the Lord, Lord, I believe you? Hallelujah. Can you say, "Lord, I believe you. I know you're in me. And I know you walk in me." If you can't, you're
You must do something about this. You've got to move from the place you're in right on. Glory. I know when we can't walk, he comes and picks us up. I know that when we're smashed up, he comes and mends us. I know that we're in need, he does that, but he doesn't want to have the privilege of doing that all your life. He wants you to get walking. Bless him.